today on Real Radio.
Well, we're in Acts chapter 2, and we're in a series that is entitled The Why Should I Series. And the Why Should I series, this morning we come to the topic, are you ready for this one? You're not going to hear this much in churches at all. In fact, I personally, in some 27 years of going to church, I've never heard a topic taught on this, and that is, why should I fast?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? And of all the Why Should I questions in this series, the one we begin examining today deals with a practice that is quite biblical, but not fully understood. The title, Why Should I Fast? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We come now to this topic in our series, Why Should I Fast? And it is a topic that is silent in churches, predominantly in the Western world. I stress in the Western world because fasting and prayer is something that is very, very prevalent in the suffering church throughout the world. Now, you will not, as we go through our scripture, you will not find the word fasting per se as we know it, but listen, it does apply to the context of our theme chapter in our series, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And you might want to circle that because in prayers also implies and can include fasting. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, as we come to our topic, why should I fast? This is specifically designed for this particular church. If you've come in here today and you're maybe visiting, as I asked or said earlier, you're wondering, why this? Why now? Well, because we've been going through a series that we believe as a church, this home church here, that we are being prepared by God to minister to the community that is outside these walls. And the reason why we've embarked upon this study is because I believe, I do not doubt, that every one of us who are here on this side of Eucalyptus Avenue will be called by God to minister our phone calls that are coming into the church are constant. I don't go to the church. I drive by it every day. When are you opening the doors? I want to come. That's an important ministry opportunity for us. When I'm in the market or when I'm at Home Depot or when I'm at wherever, this is what I most often hear. And I don't quite understand one part of it. Some people will say, are you the pastor of Calvary Chapel? I'll say, yes. Do you go to the church? Oh, no, I don't, but I have friends who do. Well, I don't understand how they would know that I'm the pastor. I mean, I don't know. It's not like we have billboards up around town. But they tell me, we're going to be coming to the church when it opens. And my response is, we're already open. We're open now. Oh, no, no, no. We're thinking about going to church or whatever the case might be, but we're going to come. Now, they may come to look at the carpet. They may come to look at the tile. They may come to look at who knows what. We don't care. It's up to them and God. But they are saying that they're going to come. And then if I ever open my mouth at a store, this happens often, I've been told I have a unique frog-like voice. That's what I hear. Oh, your voice sounds like a frog. I've never heard a frog talk, but apparently it's what a frog sounds like. And so I'll say something, oh, it's a nice day, or how much is that? You know, whatever it is. And they say, oh, you know, are you the pastor at Calvary? Well, yeah, why? I recognized your voice. Really? How's that? Oh, a friend of mine goes to your church, they gave me a tape. Well, I'm saying all this to let you know that there's a host of people in the community that for whatever reason are waiting to come, and you and I have correctly downplayed the building. It's just a building. But God is using it to cause people to get curious, to want to come, and their intention is, oh, let's go look and see what kind of carpet they're using. But that's not God's intent. God's intent is they're going to hear the gospel. But before they hear the gospel, they're going to be meeting and greeting you in the church. They're going to be meeting and greeting you in the parking lot. And so all of us become ministers of what God is about to do. And so we've been teaching and going through this series on why should I? Why should I go to church? Why should I come back to church? Why should I get saved? Why should I fellowship? Why should I pray? Why should I worship? And so now this morning we come to this very, very infrequently talked about discipline of the Christian church. Why should I fast? In your note taking, you might want to jot it down regarding fasting. It is the least taught on topic, and it is not a weight loss program. Well, I think I'm going to fast this week to lose weight. That's not what God is calling us to do when we fast. Well, you know, I put on some pounds, I got to knock them off, so I guess I'll fast unto the Lord. That's not it. So it's not God's divine weight loss program, and it is not a way to manipulate God. Oh, I'm going to fast, and listen, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to seek God about this topic or this issue in my life, and then certainly he's going to answer me. No. We say, well, wait a minute, didn't Gandhi go on a hunger strike, you know, and all that stuff? Yeah, but that's for political manipulation. Well, we're not going to eat until, you know, they remove the whatever in a political sense. We're going to sit and we're going to go on a hunger strike until the war ends. That's not fasting, church. That's not fasting. That may be a hunger strike, but in those settings, in those contests, it's always to manipulate either a political group, maybe a public view of things, or in a mindset to manipulate God. I'm fasting, I'm denying myself, so God must act. That's not what fasting is. And by the way, keep this in mind, jot it down. You cannot separate fasting from prayer. You can pray without fasting, but when you fast, you will naturally and always go to prayer. And so those things, and you're going to hear this morning how much they're connected together. So I guess more than anything, as we go through our series, this morning is very much like a workshop. We can kind of relax, kick back, put on, say, our apron, and have our tools ready, because the fact and the truth of the matter is we're talking about something that is a Christian discipline that God has called us to do. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll just ask the question. Don't raise your hand. But how many of us practice fasting on a regular basis? Chances are we don't. And that's why it is a lost discipline in the Western world or the Western church. You want to know why? Predominantly so, the Western church is not or rarely ever desperate enough to fast. We are rarely desperate. And we're going to talk about those things this morning. Listen, There's only one point to our study today. We will complete this topic today, but there will be quite a few considerations under the topic. And the topic is this: why should I fast? Number one, and one and only, it's because God wants us to experience more of Him. Can you put that down? God would have us to experience more of Him. Now, I want to ask you, when you became a Christian, you remember early on the driving force and factor of all that you did as a young believer was this passion for you to experience more of God. You want more of Him. You would go to every Bible study every night of the week, and you would just read and read and read and pray and pray and pray, and you would seek God. And you would be willing to do anything to get closer to Him. And there's an amazing thing, and maybe you remember this. When I first came to Jesus, it was so very true when it was taught that if you drink of the water He gives you, you will never thirst again. Isn't that true? By the way, the meaning of that is once you drink of what Christ gives, you will no longer or never again go out to other wells or to other sources to drink of anything else that's offered. That's why a lot of people get upset with us. Once we come to know Christ, they say, well, why don't you try this? What's our answer? No. Well, don't be so narrow-minded. Oh, time out, buddy. I used to be broad-minded. I used to take in everything like a trash can. I used to study all the world's religions. I used to get into all of this. I used to sit on, I mean, not me personally, but I used to sit on a rock, you might say, and focus on your navel and hum until you experience that harmonic convergence as you're naked in the forest, one with the creation. People do that. You say, poor people, they're nuts. You know what? They may be, but they're trying to get close to either gods or God. And they're approaching Him ignorantly. But they want more. There's something in their life that is crying out for more. As a Christian, when you drink of the water that Jesus gives, you're completely satisfied. But there's a strange contradiction. Once you drink of the water He gives, you are introduced to a thirst that is both satisfying but drives you on for more. Jesus says, if you eat of the bread that I give you, you'll never be hungry. That is true spiritually, but there's a contradiction to that. Once you eat of the bread Jesus gives, you are completely satisfied, but you can't wait to eat more of His bread. The bread of the cults no longer satisfies. The bread of the world no longer gives you peace. It's the bread of Christ, the Word of God, and you want more of it. And that's an amazing thing. And that's something to keep in mind as we go through our study. Three key verses I'm going to ask you to jot down, or portions of Scripture, I should say. Why should we fast as a church? Well, because God wants us to experience more of Him. Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35 says, then they said to Jesus, why do the disciples of John, fast often and make prayers? You hear that? Fasting and prayers. And likewise, those of the Pharisees. But your disciples eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? More on that in a moment. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. Quickly this, Jesus is saying, remember when He was on earth and His disciples were with them, they did not fast. They ate. They drank. They enjoyed their time with Christ as He taught them. John's disciples were doing exactly what Old Testament disciples were doing, which was exactly what the disciples of the Pharisees were doing. They were fasting. But they were fasting, I believe, in ignorance, because the fasting of the Old Testament was very clear, and we'll see some of those scriptures this morning. But now the bridegroom, Jesus calls Himself, had come. There was no reason why we should fast or why they should fast when the very one who brought completion was in the midst of them. They were to celebrate. They were to enjoy. They were to experience His abundance.
But Jesus made a very, very interesting statement. He says, while I'm with them, they don't need to fast. But the day will come when I will be departing from them, I'll be gone from them, and then they'll fast. Now let me ask you, did Jesus not leave us 2,000 years ago? Yes. Should we be fasting based solely upon Luke's Gospel chapter 5? Answer, yes. But the reason why we don't is because we don't understand why we should. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 1. Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. That is, don't do your good deeds so people can see them, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Did you know they actually did that? They literally, in archaeological digs and discoveries, have found what we call pinky trumpets, finger trumpets. They were an actual ring that went on the pinky with a little trumpet on it, a little horn. Now, I mentioned this to you guys quite a while, but you probably forgot. Remember off the ice cream truck, for those of us who are getting up in the years, we would buy from the ice cream truck, whatever it was, I forget, and they had that little whistle on the inside, you'd put it on your finger. Anybody? Somebody say yes? Yeah. All right. And it was made out of metal, and you'd go, remember that? And you'd run around until your mother took it off your finger and threw it away. Remember that thing? They had the same thing back in Jesus' day. They'd go, ring, I'm fasting, ring. They would stand on the street corner and they would say, I'm blessing God with $100 this week, ring. And that is truly where the saying came from. They're tooting their own horn. That's where it came from. Well, look at him tooting his own horn. It means to be boasting about something that you're doing in relation to God so everybody will know. Now, that's important to remember because Jesus goes on to say this. They do that they may have their glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have had their reward. Man, can you imagine doing a great thing and then in front of people and everyone goes, oh, nice, nice offering. Woo! What a fast. You fasted how long?
Yes, 100 days or whatever.
Oh, nice fast. Jesus says, well, they better enjoy that clap of people because that's all they're going to get. They've lost their reward before God. Matthew 6:3 goes on to say, but when, that's a question of action or statement of action, but when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, so that your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly or bless you before people. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. This is almost funny. When they were fasting, they would literally put ash underneath the cheeks or above the cheeks of their faces, underneath the eye. And in their fasting, they would well up some tears and the ashes would run with the tears. And they would go, they'd walk around like this. You know, what's the matter? I'm fasting unto God. And they would be all like, oh, why do people think like this? Because you know what, I'm making such a great sacrifice. You know, and me and God are so tight. He's been speaking to me, and oh, look at my face. God told Jeremiah, I'm not in that. Everybody walks around, oh, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. God says, I never gave them a burden. I never told them to be burdened. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So man, when you're fasting about an issue, we'll get to those things, why you should fast. The truth of the matter is, Jesus will tell you, he says it here. Don't disfigure your face like them when they fast. He said they've had their reward, verse 17, but when you fast, that is the church, that's us, anoint your head, that is comb your hair. Can you imagine those guys? They got their hair all whacked out. Jesus says, oh, don't be like those guys. Comb your hair. Comb your hair. Wash your face. Get the ashes off your face. So that you do not appear before men to be fasting, but your Father who is in a secret place, in the secret place, and your Father sees you in that secret place, will reward you openly. People should not be able to tell if you're fasting. Philippians 3, verse 9 and 10. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. Paul says that we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness. You see, the legalist and the self-righteous person will go about fasting to establish their own righteousness in manipulation of God. No, he says, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death, that we might know him more. And under that point, we want to look at several things this morning regarding this thing of fasting. Fasting. First of all, jot it down. Number one thing is this regarding fasting. It is this, and we're all interested in it, that is so we can hear better. We want to be able to hear God better. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? Fasting, emptying out my stomach allows me to hear God better? Well, if you put it that way, okay, yeah, it does. But it's not chemistry or biology. When we fast, there's a supernatural act by God. And this is why I think it is so attractive to those who fast. When you fast, there is some sort of an interesting separation. And you're going to be hearing this word a lot as I go through this topic. There's a separation that when we fast unto God, we hear him better. And let me add this. It's not only a fasting in our culture from food, but I think a great thing is a fasting from the busyness of life. Now, don't get me wrong, we can fast and be busy, and maybe we'll have to do it that way. But we can fast, and we can also fast in the areas of what we hear, in the areas of what we do. We can even, in our physical fast, abstaining from food or altering our food intake or whatever the type of fast might be, we can also determine, you know what, I'm not going to be watching any news or any documentaries or any sitcoms or any for the next 3 days, I'm going to divorce myself from the world. I'm going to seek God. You can do that as well in your fast.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study that answers the question, why should I fast? Certainly something that is practiced more than it is fully understood. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of Why Should I Fast? Now remember that this collection of studies called the Why Should I series is available to you all on one MP3 CD. We've decided to make it convenient for you by putting it in that medium, and our offer is simple. If you send in any tax-deductible gift to help support Real Radio, we'll send the CD out to you. Again, we'll send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, just remember the title, Why Should I? And of course, whatever you contribute, it's always tax deductible. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more, and you can read about it where it says special offer, realradioactive.org. Or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to make a contribution to the Real Radio Fund to help keep us on the air, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.